We all are watching this guy.
Oh, my gosh! Shohei Ohtani! The greatest day in baseball history!
Joe Davis on Sportsnet LA. It was a heck of a day for Shohei Ohtani. I don't know if I can say it's the greatest day in baseball history. The sport's been around for 100 years. Welcome to the show, by the way, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It was an exclamation point, and Shohei clearly showing the flair for the dramatic when he's got on the precipice of history, Perloff. It was a grand slam that he hit to get to the 40-40 club for his 40th home run. Now for 50-50 and 51-51, a club of which he is the only member. It's the first time anyone's ever done this in the history of baseball. It was 3 home runs. He goes 6-for-6 on the day, 10 RBIs, 2 stolen bases. It was an unreal performance, and it makes you stop in your tracks. And yeah, maybe stolen bases are a little easier now because the pickoff rules are different. The bases are bigger, the whole thing. But the fact that Shohei Ohtani is rehabbing a serious elbow injury and just goes out and does something we've never seen before in the history of this sport that has more history, quite frankly, than any other sport in this country, is certainly in the running for greatest day of all time.
Well, all right, you have to explain this to me like I'm a child.
Okay.
Is it great because he hit 50-50? Is it great because of what he did as a performance? Is it a great piece of the combo? So if he wasn't in 50-50, was he, say, 47-46? This happened 2 weeks ago. Is it not the greatest day? I'm having trouble figuring out these greatest day ever people because the polls say it is. I don't totally get it.
I think it's the combination, right? It's like, I think it means something when you are approaching these records and then you do it in such an incredible way. Now, is anyone going to remember that the Marlins stink this year and they end up winning the game, what, 20-4? Or what? I don't even know what the final score was of that game.
Yeah, 20-4.
It was an absolute throttling. But I think when you do, when you break records with an exclamation point and all the things that happen on this day, the fact that he entered that game and he was still, he was too shy, not one shy, and he just basically just chased down history, went out and grabbed it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes a difference.
Yeah, so, okay, so as a standalone game, it's also amazing, but it's not so amazing. So it's really the context of the game.
See, have you ever been sorry, go ahead.
To me, a 50-50, like this is a big record, but it's not, I'm not going to remember this record because the stolen bases are so easy right now.
See, I think we will remember it. I just am wondering if Shohei ends up topping it, you know? Does next year he do 55-55? Now, it might be harder because if he is pitching, you know, he doesn't take BP on days where he pitches. They're just, it's a little, it's, it takes more out of you.
You got to do 60-60. 55-55 is the same thing. You know how baseball works, only in
only
numbers.
That
are, yeah, only in numbers that end in zero. So he's got to do 60-60, which he could do. I mean, stolen bases is going to be easy.
I think it's going to be hard if he's pitching. It just, first of all, his you know, possible injury, because yeah, the possibility for injuries goes up. And two, I think it does just take a lot out of him. But meanwhile, here we are enjoying this incredible day. And I don't know. I know what you guys are saying about how the rules change, and so maybe stolen bases don't mean as much. But rules have been changing in baseball throughout our whole lives. And so I almost don't want to knock him just because he happens to be, he's still doing something amazing. The combination of both is still amazing. So I don't want to knock him just because he's playing by the rules that exist in this day.
But we always adjust our perspective based on the rules. And like, for example, like Cy Young had 40 wins in a season. We know that's not going to happen anymore. So we don't like take that number so seriously.
I know, but I think people still, if we did a poll, who's the greatest baseball player of all time? I bet there's still people who would vote for Babe Ruth, even though he never played against any black people, even though Babe Ruth played an era where, talk about plumbers and firemen. I mean, it is not even close to what it is now. And I still think you would get people who say he's the greatest of all time. So,
but one thing about Babe Ruth, he had 60 homers and the next guy was at like 24, you know, or something crazy like that. I just think, and I don't know about the plumbers or firemen. I do know, you're right, the sport was segregated, but like that was the sport back then. Like the best athletes all wanted to play baseball. That was it. So I don't know. I'm not sure that now all the great athletes go into other sports. That's one of the issues with baseball, I think, in America.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe you're just talking about America.
But anyway, regardless, though, I think that we are smart enough as fans to know the difference when rule changes and things happen. You know, like now the sport is much more focused on, for example, like strikeouts and walks and all that. We know, don't you think? Like, I think we're savvy enough to understand that this 50 stolen bases is not what it used to be.
Okay, but then nothing's meaningful then. You know, like, because if you're going to say every time someone hits a lot of home runs, you could say either they're on something or the ball's juiced or the ballparks are smaller, then we're never going to be, then nothing's ever impressive. And I've said, I think Shohei needs to win a World Series. All the individual stuff is great, but the reason why he needs to come back and pitch in the future is so he can help the Dodgers win a World Series. So maybe I'm doing a little of that too. But if you're going to just poke holes in every single number, then no number is going to be meaningful. Then why do anything? Why say anything? Like, I don't like that part of it either. Just because guys did there was a steroid era in the past, or just because they changed the rules because the sport, quite frankly, needed a bit of a tweak, I don't want to say all of a sudden now this is meaningless.
Well, it's not meaningless, I think, is too far extreme. I mean, for example, in football, we all view, except for this year and last year, we all view passing stats differently. Like, everyone knows what Dan Marino did in 1988 is more impressive than what somebody did in 2018.
Sure.
So just like we, and basketball, say every sport, we understand different eras and different numbers.
Yeah, so what numbers are sacred now then? Like, what numbers actually impress you now in baseball?
Well, yeah, I think you have to compare him to others. Like, his 50 homers, if other guys are hitting 50 homers, then it's not as impressive. It is, of course, Shohei. I'm a huge Shohei fan. I think he's the most impressive. I say don't pitch him because he's the best hitter we've seen in our lifetime, except for Barry Bonds, which was pure cheating. Like, he's incredible. I would never pitch him. I'm like, you have the best player in baseball without pitching. He wins the MVP. He's going to win 10 MVP. Not 10. He's going to win a ton of MVPs just as a hitter. I think it's nuts to risk his health. In fact, I don't even like these stolen bases. Why are you having this gigantic man sliding into second again and again? Like, I feel like that's a waste, too. I would just have him. I'm a sabermetric guy. I just have him sit back there and hit home runs.
I mean, but again, I ask you, like, yes, I'm impressed with Shohei, too. I think I'm more impressed. And if you don't think stolen bases matter, if you don't think home runs matter as much or whatever, then because Judge is doing it or Matt Olson does it or Jose Bautista did it back-to-back years, whatever your logic is, then what actually do you like for numbers? What means something? Because I'll be honest, I don't think we're treating no hitters like we used to either.
Numbers in baseball have lost all their meaning.
So there's just nothing, there's no number now I can give you that's meaningful.
WAR and OPS.
Those are the big two. Big WAR numbers, I definitely noticed. That's how I saw this recent thing. MVP is all about WAR now. It's the only stat.
Then give the NL MVP to Francisco Lindor.
Well, I think Ohtani has more WAR now than Lindor. He was a 0.7 WAR from that one game yesterday. So
yeah,
for a DH to not be playing the field or pitching, to have the most WAR in
baseball
reference.
That's only just because Lindor got hurt. But that was kind of like the big
conversation. Yeah, that was Lindor's case.
That was Lindor's case, that
he had
WAR. Was higher.
He had the higher WAR. Yeah. I mean, I think the difference, Maggie, is I think everything has context. So yes, throughout the history of the sport, rules have changed, times have changed, and therefore we have to take numbers in certain contexts. But I think when we look at this particular case with Ohtani, where baseball decided that we want more stolen bases, we're literally putting this rule in so that the better athletes can have more stolen bases.
They wanted more action.
They wanted more stolen bases, too.
Yeah, exactly. But they moved the shift because they wanted more. Right. They banned the shift because they wanted more action. Like, they just, the sport was getting way too boring.
For sure. And that's 100% right. But at the same time, this particular thing when it came to pickoffs and things like that were a big part because they wanted people running the bases.
Sure.
They wanted to make it more enticing to do it, easier to do it.
Right.
You get 50 bases 2 years after the rules just changed. The context is obvious. You see, okay, well, he couldn't have done this 2-3 years ago. He wouldn't have even tried because it wouldn't have been advantageous to him. So, yeah, 50-50 is cool. I think it shows how great an athlete he is. Do I look at this and say, oh, this is, like, the greatest thing ever? Like, I think it's neat. That's
how
I look at it.
What about the 50
homers? I think 50 homers are awesome. I don't necessarily
agree with...
There are
people who will poke holes
in that. Yeah, I don't necessarily have an issue with the 50 homers. Like, that's pretty cool. That's crazy to me, like, to do that, to do the 50 bases regardless of how easy it is, and then just still hit 50 home runs. Like, nobody else is doing that, obviously. But like I told you, to me, Barry Bonds going 40-40 in 93 is more impressive than this, because you're doing it back then, no steroids, way harder to steal bases, you're playing the field every day, you're not a DH. Like, that is, to me, harder than what Shohei did, even though what Shohei did is incredible. But I do think you can take the context with the rule change happening so quickly and it being directly related to making stolen bases easier.
Okay,
it's like lowering the rim in basketball. We're going to, of course, say, well, if you lower the rim in basketball, yeah, if the guy scores 50 points next year, we're going to have a reason as to why we're going to look at that with an eyebrow raised.
Right. I guess I just would say that I can do this argument anyway. I could look back at 1993 and I could look at the velocity of your average bullpen guy and say it's not even close to what they're doing today. So I can say, well, actually, Bonds, what he was doing was easier than what Shohei's doing because not everybody's throwing 100 like they are. You know, like, I'm just saying that this argument can happen no matter what we're talking about. If you want to poke holes in somebody's resume or these records, and to the point where have we just like done it to death? Where now nothing matters anymore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and again, the only thing that's going to matter is if he wins a World Series. And that's kind of like where I think society, like sports fans and society, is kind of going too.
Well, I think baseball has been the biggest victim of this. I feel like baseball stats used to be everything, and it's their own fault. I think the steroid era just killed the fascination with stats. And also, too, I mean, every year they break record for the most home runs in a season. Like, right, they've gone crazy in home runs. I think.
Well, not Bonds's.
The whole league.
Oh.
They're hitting up, and that's a lot of strategy too, like sit back and hit home runs. I think 2019, 2021, and 2020 are like the three of the four most, so like everybody hits home runs, Maggie. So I think you do have to be skeptical of the numbers, not even just because of steroids, but just like that's the style. Nobody wants to do singles anymore.
855-212-4227. Josh is in Erie, Pennsylvania. Wants to talk about Shohei. Was it the greatest day in baseball history, Josh?
So, quick clarification, are you saying it's the best individual's day or best singular day in all of baseball?
I mean, Joe Davis made the call. I think he said the best I think he meant the best individual day.
See, I go back to 2011 when the Rays and Cardinals flipped postseason and made the playoffs on a two-strike. I think they were both two-strike counts, came back from 9.5 games back of the Red Sox, and I think it was the Braves at that point in 2011. That was the singular best day in baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Tom Verducci wrote a book about that day.
Yeah, I think so. You're right.
This is like single performance. You know, and Josh, thanks for the call, and appreciate you checking in. I mean, I think it comes down to, it was Reggie Jackson's three home runs in Game 6 of the 77 World Series. I think that's probably the greatest individual day. It's the biggest stage. It was the three homers. To me, I guess. But I love what Shohei did yesterday. I think more highly of it than you guys do.
What are you talking about? Everyone thought it was amazing. Do you think it's the greatest day? Do you think it's the second greatest day in baseball history?
Individual performance? I think it's up there. Yeah, I do. I think it's probably, if it's not the first, I think it's probably like a top three day. To be honest, we have to wait a little bit because if, you know, next year he does 60-60, or if next year there's five members of the 50-50 club, then yeah, it's going to make it look a little different.
It's definitely better than all the four home run games?
Because yes.
Why?
Sean Green, because he had six hits,
right.
Two steals, 10 RBIs.
Yeah, but the thing is, the steals,
A steal is important in baseball. Granted, they won 20.
Yeah, I know, but that's the whole debate about the rule change. I mean, they can't do endless pickoff moves. So
my thing with the steals is, I just looked up a random year, 1985. Seven players with over 50 steals.
Yeah, that was when people stole bases.
I'm just saying, the last 2 years, you said that stealing is supposed to be promoted. There's only been five players over 50. So there was more players in 1985 with more than 50 steals compared to the last 2 years combined.
That's because the stadiums were 900 feet deep, Ryan.
You poke holes in everything.
Well, I mean, yes, of course. And you guys you can't argue that home runs aren't crazy these days. They're way up.
Oh, no, the home runs are fine. I'm just saying the steals, the Ohtani steals are important. It's not, there's the amount of times where you see a runner go from first to second, get into scoring position, and they score on a bloop single.
Ryan,
it's insane.
I need you to do me a favor. I need you to look at the total number of steals in 2021, 2022, 2023, and this year.
Well, it's going to get tilted just by Acuna alone at over 70 stolen bases last year.
Right. I'm just curious if the rule changes had an impact.
I do think there's a context as well with, like, the game was just different at that time. Like, teams, well, that was part of a strategy, to steal bases, whether it was easy or hard. Like, it's almost like
hit home runs.
Yeah, it's almost like saying, like, well, like, look at the amount of 1,000-yard rushers in 85, and look at now, it's almost the same. It's like, well, yeah, well, teams were running 60 times a game because that's what they thought was most advantageous.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Stuart's our pal in North Carolina. Stuart, what do you think about Ohtani?
Well, to take away from what this guy has done is just ridiculous. I mean, I saw a stat this morning that he's the only guy to do those five stats at any point in his career. The two steals, the three homers, the five extra base hits, the six hits, and the 10 ribbies. Nobody did that one per game, you know, at any point in their life, and he did it all in the same game. The thing I had told your producer was, and if you, you know, baseball is a big numbers game, but nobody's talked about them lowering the mound after Bob Gibson's 1968 season. You know, nobody takes away from the magnificence of what Bob Gibson was. He was unbelievable. And rule changes happened in the game. I mean, it's just life. There used to never be a three-point shot in the NBA. I mean, things just transition over time.
Yeah, but we take away from... Stuart, we recognize those changes, right? Like in football, in 2004, they changed the pass interference rules and numbers exploded. Everybody knows that, right? Like you take that context into the discussion.
Yeah, but nobody says Bob Gibson isn't as good as a pitcher as they have today because he pitched on a higher mound.
I think you're right. Baseball's constantly been, consistently been changing. All sports do, but been consistently changing. Listen, we were putting Caitlin Clark up there with Pete Maravich, even though Pete Maravich, you know, broke the single, the all-time NCAA record, set it with one less year and without a three-point line.
Right.
And but it was like, is Caitlin the best? It's like, well, we didn't talk a lot of context in that one.
But we always put context around Will Chamberlain.
That's true.
These are like, oh, he scored 50 points a game, but he was doing it against scrubs.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we're picking and choosing here. By the way, can you imagine Bob Gibson on that high mound trying to get a hit off that dude? No. Highlights of him, like, whoa.
Stuart, I mean, what we're watching is one of the greatest players that there is, and everybody should enjoy it because I'm not even a Dodger fan, but it's just ridiculous what he's doing.
Yeah, Stuart, and that's why it's amazing to watch, but this is why I want to see him get back to pitching, and he has said he's going to get back, so I don't have to worry about it. I just have to worry about fans like Perloff who are saying don't do it by all metrics, like but at any cost, don't let him take the mound anymore.
I actually, and even more so now, because he's so ridiculous, he's so singular, he's just a hitter. I mean, this is the greatest player in the game. Don't risk it.
Okay, see you guys on the phones. We will get back to the calls on Ohtani. You are also welcome to go and vote on our poll on X about was this the greatest singular day in the history, singular accomplishment in the history of Major League Baseball. So go there and vote at Maggie and Pearl.
All right, football season is here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while watching football. Season-long fantasy takes so much time, but Prize Picks, you can pick a new lineup every day. And last night, I picked a guy named Ramondre Stevenson, thought the Patriots were going to run all day. He got his pinky caught in a guy's helmet. He was looking, and he had this great 40-yard run. I was so psyched. They took it away because of the face mask. But then again, I'm going to be back at it tonight. You know that, Maggie.
Well, here's a funny one. Right now, Shohei Ohtani, a 10.5 hitter fantasy score for tonight. What's the encore? I mean, how do you follow up a 6-for-6, 3 home run, 10 RBI day? Do you go back out there and just do it all over again? This is why Perloff and I play Prize Picks every single day. Not only that, Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy app with injury insurance. If one of your players goes down in the first half, Prize Picks doesn't count it as a loss. It's just some of the many ways Prize Picks puts the members first.
By the way, all over Dylan Raiola tonight. I think it's a 214 yards. Let's go with the Nebraska quarterback. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. We are trying to put Shohei Ohtani's incredible day into historical perspective. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be the killjoy.
Yeah, be that guy. Go ahead.
Might be a little caught up in the moment here. Maybe calling it the greatest day in the history of baseball. Maybe a little caught up in the moment.
See, I like getting caught up in the moment because if you don't get caught up in the moment, it's like nothing matters. You know?
Yeah, but if you get caught up in the moment,
every part of this.
But if you don't pull back and think historically, then nothing matters as well. Because every, you know, tomorrow Mookie Betts is going to have 9 stolen bases or something, and that'll be the greatest day. Like, you can only have one greatest. We tend to go to the hyperbole a little too soon. We tend to go to the greatest. This is a great. I kept thinking of Susan Wallman last night. This is the greatest. What did she say when Roger Clemens returned?
Well, goodness gracious. I mean, that's when
did she say
George Steinbrenner's box, that the clock?
Yeah,
that
I thought she said, like, it was one of the greatest moments in Yankee history or something. Anyway, we tend to make everything the best, and this is the best I've ever seen. I think we do that too much, which I think takes the meaning away from it. And there's a caller here. I don't even think this is going to be a top 3 Dodgers moment.
Well, Fred is in South Carolina, wants to weigh in on Ohtani's big day. Good morning, Fred.
Hey, how are you guys today?
We're good.
Yeah, so that's exactly my point. What Perloff is saying there, I think it's a lot of recency bias. And again, a great day, fantastic day. But offensive explosions happen like that all the time. There are other guys that haven't had those numbers, but very good. As far as best day in Dodgers history, I mean, Kirk Gibson still has to be the king of that. Like, he won a World Series. And then, like, what about Don Larsen with a perfect game in the World Series? Which then goes to Maggie's point of, you know, I think it needs to be World Series related, or at least something getting you there. This is just a day in September.
Yeah,
they beat the Marlins 20-4.
But the opponent to me almost doesn't matter.
And his last home run was against a position player.
Right. But that wasn't the 50. The 50 was the second home run of the day. And actually,
Whoa. I did not know this. Did you say he hit a home run off a position player?
440 feet off of a position player.
Oh, man, I didn't know that.
But that wasn't the one to break the record.
Oh, that's weak sauce.
Well, come on. He can't help it. What is he supposed to do, lay down a bunt just because the guy's a position player? It makes no sense.
He just fell below Mark Whitten's 4 home run game in my list of great days.
You know what? But, Fred, here's the thing, right? It's like, I said it too. It's like, in the World Series, does this mean more? Reggie Jackson's 3 home runs, you know, is that actually greater? But, yeah, if you want to go a moment with Kirk Gibson, or you want to go a moment – yeah, there's definitely bigger moments. Hank Aaron is a bigger moment. I mean, Jackie Robinson suiting up is a bigger moment. Like, we could definitely take this into bigger account. But the fact is that Ohtani did do something that no one has done. So it doesn't matter if the Marlins were the opponent. It's about Ohtani.
And I think that goes to, similarly, like last year, Ronald Acuña Jr. did something that no one had ever done.
Right.
So that we're just doing that every year, where now it's like the next greatest time in baseball history. I mean, the last thing that I'll say is just, as far as good as Ohtani is, right now, he is not the best hitter in baseball. That's still center field in Yankee Stadium.
Aaron Judge, yeah. Fred, thank you for the call. Gave us some things to chew on there.
I mean, I think it's not a certainty that Aaron Judge is better. I see what he's saying. I'm going to listen.
Yeah, I mean, Judge has the American League record, 62. Ohtani hasn't done that, but...
Judge is hitting like 322.
Yeah, I mean,
he could win the Triple Crown.
And they both have good teams, the protection, all the stuff you want to talk about.
But I mean, like...
God, I hope they meet in the World Series.
I really do think, and I'm being serious, I know we're kidding around a little bit, like, the postseason just means way more. So when you're talking about greatest day, there's nothing you can do in the regular season that's going to match. To do it in the postseason is crazy.
But ironically, baseball is the one sport where I feel like the postseason, when we remember guys and their numbers and what they did, like... It's the one sport where the winning is actually secondary to the regular season in numbers. When you put guys like their Hall of Fame, you know, candidacies and stuff like that.
Yeah, but the moments, I mean,
I mean,
like Sandy Koufax, if you're talking about greatest Dodgers moments, it's Koufax, it's
Don Larsen.
Obviously.
Kirk Gibson.
It's Kirk Gibson, yeah.
Right, but like so to me.
Hey, folks.
Sorry, Kirk Gibson is not the comparison here. Kirk Gibson is a different conversation. It's a singular moment.
Right.
Kirk Gibson hobbling a home plate out of nowhere, hitting a home run. That's not what I'm talking about when we're trying to diagnose what Ohtani did. And let's just be careful not to dismiss, wherever you want to put it on your list or not on a list, don't go too far in dismissing what he did yesterday. Because that caller said, this happens all the time. Yesterday does not happen all the time.
Yeah.
That is a factually incorrect statement. What he did yesterday technically is unforeseen in the combination of all the different things he did. But if you want to just go by extra base hits or whatever, like, there have been a handful of other games like this, but it does not happen all the time.
Yeah,
that's
sorry.
Not true.
And I said Don Larsen of the Yankees, obviously. Yeah, yeah. Not Dodger moment against the Dodgers.
But Yogi jumped into his arms, right?
Yeah, of course.
Well,
yeah, it does. No, it doesn't happen all the time. Right. And Ohtani, here's the thing where I don't mind the hyperbole around Ohtani, because it's not a one-off guy. It's not Chris Davis. It's not, no disrespect, I'm going to start disrespecting people. It's not Jose Bautista.
Right, it's not Brady Anderson.
Exactly. Like, this is, Ohtani is got the bona fides. Like, you know, he is in the conversation of greatest baseball player. We're watching history. I think it's okay to celebrate all of his achievements, because we know that they're going to keep, as long as he's healthy, they're going to keep stacking on top of each other. This isn't some flash in the pan. Right.
Well, let me ask, does he have to win in the postseason?
I think so. I mean, I've said that. I think he does need to win in the
postseason. But, like, for what? Like, this postseason to make yesterday matter more? What's the, what is that?
Well, you know how we rip players who have great regular seasons more in other sports? Maggie, you're right about that. But we rip guys who have great regular seasons and then show up small in the postseason. Like Clayton Kershaw, for example, if you want to go Dodgers, like what
right.
greatest regular season pitchers of all time, I think, you know, everybody thinks of him as slightly disappointing.
Yes, but he also, Ohtani could hit 400 and in postseason the Dodgers don't win the World Series, and that's not
right.
his fault.
But he could easily come out and say he gets cold in the postseason. I think that, that's what I'm saying. Like, does he need to sort of fulfill his promise? Does he need to come up big in the fall?
I mean, eventually, but not like, not this fall. If he doesn't have a good October, that doesn't immediately erase all of this stuff.
No, not erase, but I feel like he's such a great player. Like, he's got to have some pressure on him this fall. I think people are going to be
Bonds
tuning in for
winning a World Series.
Well, I was going to say, I think the issue with Bonds is he was talked a lot about not winning because he was terrible in the postseason until they went into that World Series against the Angels, and he was just hitting home runs every game, and they lost a close, heartbreaking 7-game series. It wasn't his fault.
They probably should have won in 6.
Right, exactly. He carried the team. So I almost feel like, similar to what Bogus said, like, Ohtani just has to play well. Like, if the Dodgers could lose, and if he's just killing it still, I think you'd be like, well, we know that guy's a dog. Like, there's no question about whether or not he can deliver in the clutch. Baseball is too many variables for one player to just lead you to a World Series. There's too many players, too many things that have to happen to go right.
But do you think I think he's set up where we would be very critical if he did not have a good postseason.
For sure. I agree with you on that. Definitely. Yeah.
Bogus has more headlines. By the way, keep the calls coming on Ohtani at 855-212-4227. You can also vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl. Greatest day, single day in baseball history. Single performance in baseball history. Bogus, what's up?
Headlines sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code M&P to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com. For restrictions and details. After winning in Cincinnati, then almost beating the Seahawks, the Patriots looked as inept as many expected before the season started last night at the Jets. A 24-3 primetime smothering in Jersey. QB Jacoby Brissett sacked 5 times, hit on almost every other dropback.
It really didn't come down to the plays. It was just like they just beat our ass, to be honest with you.
No lies
detected.
You don't need to know the X's and O's of football to understand that.
You know what's crazy? The final score was, if you didn't watch the game, you're like, well, they, what was it, 24-3?
Yeah.
It should have been way bigger of a margin, but your kicker missed a field goal and got stalled a little bit in the red zone.
Anyway. I think the Patriots are a big bend, don't break, too, because didn't the Seattle had 1 million yards.
Right.
So they sort of, that's a new thing. Like, you let up hundreds of yards, then you stop them in the red zone. That kind of happened. But Jacoby Brissett, dude, you're 6'7". Like, you got to see that a guy who's 5'11 is running at you, and he was completely oblivious. It's like he didn't see the blitz once. Not once did he pick up a blitz.
The Patriots last night had 139 total yards.
What?
Just, I mean, you're right when you talk about, like, this game is only 24-3. Like, that does not tell the story. 139 yards for our entire offense is insane.
What was time of possession?
Time of possession was 40 minutes for the Jets, just under 20 minutes for the Patriots.
Yeah, it felt like the Jets took too long to score, so they, like, didn't have many chances to then score again.
I don't know how many times Rodgers, they got to figure out the whole clock thing. Because, like, it was an issue in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, they got a couple close calls on delay of games where Robinson had to call a timeout in the second half. Thank goodness the game was so out of reach, it didn't matter. And then they still took some delay of games. So he's milking the clock down. Like, that's clearly their strategy. And that's what he wants to do. And that probably led to not as many points. Also, you had a Greg Zuerlein missed field goal.
I was listening to a betting podcast, and they said Rodgers' use of the time go under on the Jets because he uses the whole play clock. And I forgot about that. He's like a master of manipulating everyone at the line.
Speaking of that Zuerlein field goal, it didn't end up mattering. But why did the Jets call their last time out when they didn't have to with like plus 20 seconds left in a half?
That whole drive, they let like another 6 or 7 seconds come off the clock before they eventually called timeout. I'm like, are you going for a touchdown here or are you not? I did not understand it.
Yeah.
Disorganized.
Yeah.
Every other team would have saved their last timeout. And they had that, and then they had that last play where even Michaels was like, if they get tackled inbounds, they're not getting a field goal, the field goal unit out there for this.
I actually laughed.
God, I love Nathaniel Hackett.
Kirk Herbstreit goes, yeah, that hold looked pretty good. No idea what happened there. That was just like the worst kick I've ever seen.
It was awful. I don't know what. It was like going. It was like a helicopter going like sideways. Yeah, I was like, what happened? And Zuerlein's usually really good.
And even with the timeout, Herbie at one point started to say, and with the one timeout left, then he saw the board and he just stopped talking because he assumed, rightfully so, they should have had still one to go. And then he saw zero, and he's just like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, this is 2 weeks in a row with the Jets with the timeouts and the play clock issues. I don't know what's going on. They got to figure that out.
By the way,
they're going to be closer games where this is going to matter.
The NFL was not doing Amazon any favors by putting the Patriots on in Thursday night. That's not fair. Like, you're not going to get a good game.
And is the Giants-Cowboys next Thursday?
Poor.
How about Al Michaels being real cagey on whether or not he's staying in New York for the week? Did you guys pick up on that?
Oh, no, I missed that.
No,
Al, are you going to do, like, what the Chargers are doing and just stay on the East Coast for the week? He's like, ha-ha, I don't know yet. Actually, I do. And that was it.
His Jets running at Teterboro. He's like, he's out of there. He's home in his bed right now.
Yeah, he loves going to that golf club out there. Apparently, he's not even good at golf, but he goes every day. Like, there's no way he's staying. But it is kind of, Thursday Night Football seems jinxed right now, right? Like, it's always Herbie and Al trying to make up some content at the second half.
Herbie's dog.
How many penalties were last night, too? I felt like they could not run a play either side without penalties. Anyway,
back to the Patriots. They let Drake May lead their last possession. Things were so bad. He went 4 for 8, 22 yards, was sacked twice in his debut. Head coach Gerard Mayo did not say postgame that Brissett is still their starter. So Jacoby asked about that.
I'm not going to overreact to something that I didn't hear. So, yeah.
Yeah, good times. Aaron Rodgers, meanwhile, 281 yards, 2 scores in his first win in his new home. Breece Hall also ran for a score as the Jets snapped an 8-game home losing streak to New England and a 6-game skid on Thursday night. Vikings wideout Justin Jefferson says he'll play, quote, for sure Sunday against Houston despite his bruised quad. And T. Higgins was back at Bengals practice yesterday but still unclear if his hamstring will let him play Monday night against the Commanders. Arch Manning officially starting for Texas tomorrow night against Louisiana Monroe, but head coach Steve Sarkisian basically said yesterday Quinn Ewers starts once his oblique injury is gone. And last night might have been Diana Taurasi's final game in Phoenix, just in case she addressed the crowd after an 89-70 loss to Seattle.
And if it is the last time,
That's fans and teammates chanting one more year at the 42-year-old. The Mercury are in the playoffs, but would have to force a third game with Minnesota to get another home game. Taurasi says she'll decide her playing future over the offseason. Guys, back to you.
I mean, she steps right into a broadcasting career too, right? Whenever she's done.
Oh, I would imagine.
Her and Sue Bird already have their show that they do during the NCAA tournament. Why not, right?
This is a little weird, though. Like, even reading about it this morning, I guess the Mercury, because she is non-committal, which is fine, but like even did like a just in case, or if this is the last one, like a whole push. They gave out T-shirts, like just in case this was going to be the last game. They didn't want to do nothing, but it's weird that they did something about something that might not happen still.
Well, this is why you got to do the tour. And I know some athletes aren't comfortable with it, but the retirement goodbye tour, I think, is actually the right thing to do for fans of yours, for the team. And listen, you can always come back or whatever, but do the goodbye tour so everyone can properly send you off.
You don't want to come back, though, after a goodbye tour.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes things happen. We thought Mariano Rivera was going to retire, and then I tore his meniscus or whatever, shagging balls in Kansas City. And sometimes you got to come back. It's not always a fairy tale, but, you know.
We got an issue here, by the way. What chance is this Texas-Louisiana Monroe game? that on TV? I assume it is.
I mean, it's on TV, whether you can see it or not is the question.
Yeah, I was because the Louisiana Monroe does not get a lot of... Is this...
Do you know what the spread is on this game?
I tell you that. Big game Saturday.
Do you know what the spread is on this game?
Infinity.
I just looked it up.
Oh, okay. So it's, I think it's SEC Network.
Okay.
The spread is 44.
Oof.
And the over-under is only 52. So they really think Louisiana Monroe is not going to score.
Yeah, and ESPN Plus, which I think a lot of people are watching now. So a little arch action. I don't know. If he throws 8 touchdowns, is it... We could say that's awesome, or is it going to be like, Louisiana Monroe,
44 point spread?
Yes, I don't know.
This is not the game to be like, oh, this is arch. But I love how they're so confident that Quinn Ewers is going to be the starter again. How long until he just gets hurt again? Like that's the thing. Even if he does get the job back, which is fine, you know, and that's okay. But this is a guy who has an injury history, and we've already seen it.
I don't know, minor oblique injury. Anyway,
in the game.
Do you have money on something here? You're really pushing for this quarterback change.
I'm a secret Manning.
The dude gets hurt all the time.
No,
Maggie
I'm
Gray
just,
Manning.
Just put it out of his misery.
Doesn't realize.
I'm just saying, I've seen a lot of Quinn Ewers, like, and I'll be excited to watch him in the NFL, but I've kind of seen what he can do at Texas. It's Arch's time. Guys.
Like your husband's the fourth Manning brother. We don't know.
I mean, Texas is the number one team in the country. Because of Quinn Ewers. Don't you want to see if they can win the title with him?
Sure. Maybe I'd rather try to win the title with Arch.
That'll be next year.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I totally agree. But DJ Lagway, the Florida quarterback, threw for like 500 yards against Stanford, had like an all-time record day, and then could not hit the side of the barn when he played a real team. So I worry that Arch is going to have this crazy day and then not be that good. But Texas, if Arch has to go against Georgia, that's different.
Well, we're not there yet. 855-212-4227. Bogush, thank you so much. Coming up, we will talk about week 3 NFL. We got week 4 college football. We have another interesting story of something going on this weekend that Perloff may be predicting is going to be a lot bigger deal than we may think. We'll get to that next. Maggie and Perloff. You know, we did the one-hit wonder bracket that ran congruently to the NCAA tournament bracket, Perloff. That was not this past season, 2 years ago. I thought this was the greatest find of that one-hit wonder bracket. Funky Town. I don't think I'd listened to that song in like 15 years.
There's a great Mel Brooks movie where they're dancing to Funky Town in ancient Egypt. Yeah, that's what I always remember about that song.
Welcome back, by the way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Lots to get to. Your thoughts on Shohei Ohtani making history yesterday as part of the 50-50 club. We've got lots of football for you. But we pause for one moment, Pearl, because you have a prediction, I think, that you wanted to make.
Is this the WNBA-related prediction?
It is. Why don't you tell people what's on your mind?
Okay. So, in my opinion, NFL is the most popular thing in sports right now. College football is second. But I honestly feel like the biggest star is Caitlin Clark. I think she's going to get surprising ratings in the playoffs, even though she's going against the NFL. Does anyone have the schedule for the FIBA?
Okay, let's get the WNBA playoffs start on Sunday, and I don't exactly have the schedule in front of me, but maybe EJ.
Here we go. It's 3 o'clock on Sunday against the Sun. Now, I think she's going to do a decent rating. I'm assuming this is ABC.
Put a number on it.
2 million.
2 million for Caitlin Clark? On an NFL Sunday?
Yep.
You know, you got the Cowboys at 4:25 Eastern time against the Ravens, kind of a must-win game for both teams. I think that game is going to do a gigantic rating.
Well, of course. But I think most of the game will be over by 4:25. You could get in that window. You know, not everybody has Sunday ticket. Not everybody, the Fox, the big broadcast games do much better. And I assume somebody has to find out what channel this game is on.
If it's, I think it's on ABC.
If it's on Amazon, then I will not do this bet. Like
no,
last night's
gonna
game.
That's going to be different, yeah.
By the way, I don't know what happened the rest of the game. I watched the first 20 minutes. She's on fire right now. She looks great. So I think she could do a big number. I think you cannot underestimate. I read this really great column by Dan Wetzel, you know, our friend at Yahoo Sports, about being like, all said and done, a lot of experts underestimated the impact Caitlin Clark would have at the WNBA. His argument was, in a lot of sports, college stardom does not translate to the pros, and he says that it is translated and then some. And I totally agree. The ratings obviously are crazy up for WNBA.
Yeah, no, I think that her impact has been gigantic, huge, huge. You can't overstate it. It was exactly the star that they needed at the right time, and it's just been like a rocket ship. I think this is going to be very tough for them. I think it's going to be tough for the WNBA. I think the ratings will be up compared to seasons past because that's the trend. But I think this is tough to go head-to-head with the NFL. And it's not going to be every day. They're going to play games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and I get that. But I think it's going to be hard for them to break the 2 million mark on a full slate of games. It's early enough in the season where every team is technically still alive. You know, you haven't totally given up on your season, even if you're a Panther fan or a Giant fan or whatever. And I still think the NFL is going to – I think it just takes up so much oxygen on Sunday. I think it's going to be more like – what we see with other counter programming like gymnastics and figure skating.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a little higher than that, but I don't know.
I feel really good about this one. I would do a show bet in a heartbeat on that 2 million number.
I don't know.
ESPN averaged, I just looked, 1.2 million per game for the regular season.
I know, but this is going up against the NFL. On a Tuesday or a Wednesday, I would give it to you. But yeah. I don't think on Sunday, I don't think anything else matters except for NFL. When we're talking about sports on TV.
Yeah, but 2 million is just not a big number. I mean,
the World Series, when's the last time they topped 2 million?
Cowboys Ravens like at 27 million or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you could squeeze in 600,000 to watch that game. I think like 2 million is not a gaudy number. She got 19 million for the final game at her tournament games were blowing up last year.
I know, but that was April.
Yeah.
The Cowboys weren't playing. I'm sorry. Not to make it all about one team. I just think it's going to be tough. Will is in San Diego, wants to talk about another star in the sport, Shohei Ohtani, a star in sports. What's up, Will?
Yes. I heard you guys mention Ohtani can't perform in the offseason, or he hasn't performed in the offseason, just to make that correction. What about the World Baseball Classic when he went up? And, you know, the last final game and struck out the best baseball player in the world at that time and proved he was the best baseball player in the world. You know, of course, his record-setting day. It's an amazing day for baseball in general. I don't think there should be any arguments around it.
Yeah, Will, not to be a check-the-tape kind of person, but I did bring up the World Baseball Classic as the greatest non-MLB moment that I've ever witnessed. And then beyond that, we have no idea what Shohei Ohtani can do in the postseason because he's literally never played a postseason game. So he hasn't been able to succeed or fail in the postseason. We just haven't seen it.
Were there any other non-MLB moments on that list? I was about to say, what?
Maybe College World Series? I don't know. I'm not sure. But it's up there.
Jake Bogus's Little League team?
Haven't had the pleasure of seeing them in person. I'm going to leave that to you. Gary's in Jacksonville has a thought for week 3 of the NFL and who's in a must-win situation. What's up, Gary?
Good morning, Maggie, Andrew. I say my Dolphins go into Seattle and win. McDaniel's got to... 10 days to get Skylar Thompson ready. They're going to go up there. They're going to win the game. And who do you guys pick in the Cowboys-Ravens game? Who do you like?
Oh, my gosh. I love it,
Gary. I like the Ravens.
I'm actually going to go with the Cowboys on this one. Gary, thank you for the call. It's a one-point spread. The Ravens are favored by a point. And I get the Ravens could go to 0-3, all of that. They're both teams are coming off of bad losses. Ravens lost in the final minutes against the the Las Vegas Raiders. And obviously the Cowboys got blown out. Here's why I think the Cowboys are going to win this game. At some point, you have to stop the run. They didn't do it against Green Bay. They didn't do it last week against the New Orleans Saints, and Alvin Kamara went crazy. At some point, you have to stop the run, or they should just tell Mike McCarthy and Mike Zimmer to get on the closest airplane and fly home. Because you have to make a statement that you can stop the run, and obviously that's what the Ravens are going to try to do.
Yeah, I think it's the desperation factor, just the 0-2. The fact that Cowboys, no rocket science here. Cowboys are 1-1, Ravens are 0-2, and Ravens just need to tighten it up. I mean, they got loose in that fourth quarter. I feel like they're going to be on their P's and Q's, and... You know, obviously, I think the Ravens have a superpower. If Lamar wants to sell out and run 20 times and risk his health, he could do it, and he's going to do it.
Yeah, he will, but I ask you, is that the smartest thing?
Long-term, no, but you're 0-2, Maggie. There's no future if you go 0-3.
See, I think the Cowboys, even though they are 1-1, I think they've got to be feeling a little desperate, too. Maybe not to the extreme level of the Ravens, but...
They got some Giants cupcakes coming up. The Ravens have a much tougher schedule.
You just got totally waxed by the Saints at home. This was shades of the Packers. Like, if this doesn't light a fire under your butt, I have no idea what will.
I mean, they could easily lose this game and win the division. There's just no doubt about it. Like, this, the Eagles don't look great. The Giants look awful, and the Commanders have a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, but if you're scoreboard watching already, week three,
well, I know, it's
playing
just like,
these games, if you're the Cowboys, that's not a good sign.
But the Ravens, I mean, that is true desperation. That throw the kitchen sink at this game.
Who was voted the most annoying player in the NFL? And it was a landslide. Give you the results next. Maggie Perloff.